brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys.
Get ready to learn everything you ever wanted to know and a whole lot that you didn't. It's time for a Chats episode.
Hey, welcome to this Chats episode where everything good in life is possibly worth discussing. This is good old boy Mike, and joining you here for this episode is good old boy Dave.
Hey, everybody.
Wow, good old boy Dave. He actually says hello.
Well, because it's a Chats episode. We're supposed to chat, dude.
And also good old gal Juliana.
I'm in shock here.
I just threw off the whole thing.
He threw me off base. You know, I was expecting some interesting clips.
He's in a room making orgasm sounds.
Is that better?
There we go. I knew it would come around. Well, our chat segments are all about people behind the products and services we talk about here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Today's episode celebrates our co-host from the 10th season of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
Wow.
Yeah,
my about God.
That. 10.
Is that worth applause or a ban, Dave? You're debating which button is.
It's worth a bell.
Well, our co-hosts on this episode are Dave and Juliana, and maybe their non-de-plume names of Ricky and Lucy, maybe. Do you guys actually have, like, nicknames for each other?
I mean, she has called me Luce, but it wasn't in an endearing way.
No, like, you know, when you holler at him across the room and he's not paying attention to Dave. I mean, what?
That's just like every conversation.
That's normal.
I call her babes sometimes. Like, hey, babes. What's up, baby? Baby.
Yep. I'll represent you. So, wow. Do you guys recall even how we first met at all?
I think, didn't we bailed you out of jail once, right? Was that? No, that wasn't
there,
how we met.
There was
you.
That phase that I was in at
there
that point
that
in time.
There was that phase.
So my thing is, I feel like we met you at a homebrew club meeting.
Mm-hmm. At Bosco's.
But the first time we really hung out was we were in a homebrew club, Music City Brewers. Woo-hoo. And the president at that time was John Malone, good old boy John. And he sent something out that said, hey, there's this really terrible podcast and they need to class it up a lot. Are there any volunteers? And so we were kind of just like riding around. I was reading it and we're like, wow, you want to do this? And it was just kind of like, yeah, why not? So we responded to John, and I guess we were probably the only ones, or I can't imagine we won the audition.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I never asked John about the other side of the question, which was, what were the other choices?
Yeah. So, well, fair, exactly. Right? Who knows? If
so
you could go back in time.
My casting process was really just fraught with disaster right from the get-go. Because
John, just get whoever the
I
hell
failed
you get.
To just ask a very simple question, which was, what were the other choices, John?
So. Is this the best you could do?
We're doomed.
But I think that was right. Like, and then the first episode, was that at your house?
It was, yes.
Yeah, it was at the bar.
It was at the wet bar, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That's absolutely the craziest. You know, we were all huddled like within 2 feet of each other. And we were using some audio gear at the time that was just so bad.
Yeah.
And it was just, and I was talking with Juliana earlier about, you know, some of those early episodes, and she was like, the content was really awesome, Mike. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. She was like, you're paying attention to the audio quality, Mike. And I'm like, I am, yes.
And having gone back and listened to some of those early episodes, and not that I'm a lot better now, but
a lot of
these episodes were like, you know, it was like a drinking game, like, you know, take a shot every time somebody says,
yeah,
you know, and you'd be lit.
I would have been out in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was, I remember on that episode, well, at least I think the first episode was the clown shoes, and nothing about so what bad. Was going down your throat was good. And then I was thinking, oh my God, he's not going to have us back because like there was just, nothing good to say.
We're just ripping on everything. Yeah.
And
we were finding about, how do you stay true to, talking and reviewing a product at the same time, just really trying to make it both entertaining and informative at the same time. And then we had something that was just so bad, there in front of us.
Yeah. I think maybe that was a good thing. Because
that was part of my plan, Dave. The reason why I brought out Tangerine Dream was just to see how bad it could be and then how we would deal with it.
Mike looked out the window and he saw us in the drive. He's like, all right, Don, hide all the good beer. We're gonna give them all the crap and we'll see if they stay. So
how many episodes did you think you would be on there at the first part?
That one. One and done, because I'm like, okay, the scam is over. He's going to realize that I know nothing. I have no communication skills whatsoever.
Like, we were like both really still new to craft beer at that point. I mean, we both drank it for a little while, but as far as really
world class experts, I don't think any of us, really were. Maybe Reverend Mark had, a body of knowledge that was pretty expansive.
Yeah, like Reverend Mark, good old boy John, he was solid.
Well, sure, because they had been homebrewing for a while. They were really good friends with Karen and the crew. And, I mean, being at Bosco's, you were pretty much learning about brewing every time you went for a pint,
It's interesting, looking back at that moment and the people we were surrounded by. I mean, that was just like the nuclear center of the beer universe,
The talent in Middle Tennessee. That was there every month.
There was, four or five commercial brewers that broke out of just that one group that was around us at that point in time. So pretty amazing. And it was interesting to be drinking a lot of those beers and see the evolution of a lot of those beers, moving into commercial development as well.
Well,
it was really fascinating.
And the scene back then, everything was like West Coast IPA and just blow your face off IBUs.
Yes.
That was the thing.
It was sticky. It was all piney.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, that was back in the days before lactose.
Sure. So,
that's for sure.
And then Kimmich showed up.
And then it was Rodenbach City after that.
You can make IPAs in the East? What?
For sure. Well, we are drinking today, and we're going to chat about the beers as we go along. You pulled some things out of the cellar, grabbed some fresh local beers, as maybe even some homebrew. I don't think we have any homebrew
today. There's no homebrew today, buddy.
That's all right. Not today. So the beer that I brought has a cool story behind it. So this is Gusset Bone. This is a certain version of Bone Lambic that is released in a vat series. So they have all these fooders that they drop all the beer in, and each of one of those has a unique style to them. And so they keep the vat numbers, and usually they're blending, after things have attenuated out. And they're ready to, start bottling. But they released this series where they actually kept that vat all in one bottling. And so this was available at a beer festival. And we all fell in love with this beer. And it was when this series was just being released. And there's a whole bunch of these. So we're having vat 92 today. But, each one of these, vats has a very distinctive, characteristic about it. And I think that was the part that although we all love this beer, the thing that we loved was you were really seeing where the characteristic of the beer was kind of originating from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, really great beer.
And I'll say, like, Julianne and I got to meet Frank Bone at a beer bloggers conference, and just the nicest, humble, and his son was there too. Like, just the really cool people.
I forgot to tell you, the series is called the Mono Blend. Is the name of the series? Yeah.
Right. Well, you don't want to you know, mix your mono with mine, but whatever, dude. It's all good.
Well, I brought this gear. I knew that we would all enjoy this, but I knew that Juliana would really, she's like, oh.
Yes, this is heaven.
Go ahead. This just is, go I for know. It, Mike.
Yes.
Dave, what'd you bring?
So I pulled out a 2016 bottle of Salty Lemon. It's Scully number 39 from Paradox in Divide, Colorado. And we first really fell in love with those guys one of the first years we went to GABF. And their Salty Melon beer was like, that was one of the few beers where like GABF, you know, the Great American Beer Festival, there's like, I don't know, thousands of beers. And like it was me, it was the three of us and Reverend Mark. And we just kept getting back in line for this one beer. Like just, and we were like kind of hogging the line too, you know, just to talk to the guys and to keep trying this beer.
Yeah. Finally they caught on and they were like hey guys, you want to just come over to the other side?
Yeah, just step over to the side.
Why wait in line?
Just mainline it and be done with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's just skip all the whole waiting cycle.
But we tried the Salty Melon many times, but the Salty Lemon I think is very good as well.
It is. And the moment that I cracked it open, I was like overwhelmed by that saltiness. I was just salivating.
Six
and the
years
lemons,
in, and it's still
good.
Yeah.
And true to style, I asked JB to pick out one beer to talk about. And so why don't you tell us about the three that you have in front of you.
In no particular order.
In no particular order and quickly.
Okay. So. The three that we're going to. Oh,
you got only 30 seconds here.
Yeah, okay. Go. Saint Somewhere.
I love you, Bob Sylvester.
Saison Renault from Mystic. May they rest in peace. And Prairie Cherry Funk.
Wow.
Funk.
A nice
selection. You and Bob still pen pals for your holiday
the
cards?
The restraining order is still
in still effect.
In effect. Yeah.
You cut me so deep. So deep.
We'll talk about that later after this break.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's chat episode, we are talking with good old boy Dave and good old gal Juliana.
It's us.
And we were talking about beer right before the break. So we wanted to chat about one of the beers that's in front of us, this Paradox Salty Lemon.
Salty Lemon.
And so when Juliana and I were tasting this earlier, we were kind of speculating that, you know, a lot of their approach, and a lot of brewers do this, is they have a base beer and then they, kind of build on it, from there. And we really think this is kind of the same base beer that was in the Salty Melon.
Oh, I think so. And probably, you know, they have their house culture that they use, you know, so they're trying to keep as much standardization as possible, but then like do different riffs
It's like, you know, a really good canvas to work with, and then you create magic, you know, from there. Because this has all the same magic, you know, that is in the watermelon version of this. It's just lemon, and it's very approachable. And for those of you that love Goza-style beer, this is about as close as you're going to come to a Goza that's actually not made with acidulated malt.
Yes.
It's made in a traditional, you know, process with fermentation and with
a ton of fruit.
A ton of fruit as well. So this doesn't have that salinity quality, that kind of slimy, you know, kind of the salt is very, you know, pronounced in this, but the lemon off of this actually is more of like a sweet variety lemon.
Yeah, and I think that's important, because if it was if it was a more of a bitter lemon, it would be too much, right? Like it just wouldn't play right.
It would be over the top and it wouldn't be quaffable, as Reverend Mark would say. Whereas this is really approachable, really easy. And as it's opened up, it's softened a little. Yum.
Yeah. It's been open for maybe about an hour now. And I just, every sip that I have of this, I'm like, wow.
This is getting better.
This
was
out of the cellar 2016.
Yeah.
So this roughly around 8 years, you know, that you've had this in the cellar. It has not lost a beat, man.
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, this is just amazing. So,
16. Yeah. Wait, what? You add like I spell.
6 years.
6 years. Right. Correct. Well, it's close.
Oh, yeah.
Six, I was using lawyer billing math, you know.
Yeah. you were 125% to the goal there.
Yeah, so about 6 years. But still really amazing.
It's
not like some magical cellaring technique. You just probably left it on the shelf, right?
I sleep with it every night, you know, nestle it.
I really think this is amazing. Our suds rating for the salty melons,
salty
lemons, is going to be a 5. Really a great beer.
I think salty melons was Mike's stripper name.
Oh, was it Mike's stripper name?
Well, you know, you want what?
To rate that.
Oh, you want to rate the VAT 92 as well?
Yeah, if we're going to be rating stuff, we might as well.
Yeah, right? We can talk about that at the same time. I, you know, really love the Bone Mono Series 92 that we have here as well. If anything, it's just like, you know, Frank jumping in front of you and going, hey, do you mind if we have a conversation, you know? And it's just not complicated. If you start to overthink it, you're just not going to enjoy it as much as you normally would.
Right.
I mean,
it's so clean. I mean, it's not a...
I just love the simplicity of it. You know, it's just, you know, when somebody say, I really would enjoy a really solid, you know, Belgian lambic, boom, you know, or bone for that matter, you know.
It's like, I wonder what happened. Wow. I wonder, like, you know, it's like, I wonder what would happen if somebody was really, really good at making this beer and they'd been doing it for like, you know, 70 years or whatever. Oh, it's this. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Right.
I just love this.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Here lately, Julianne and I have noticed that we've not been drinking as much like sour beer and stuff. Like, you know, we got into it and we bought a lot and we've been cellaring it and everything. But here lately, we just, you know, it's kind of hard to gear up for drinking some of that stuff. But like when you bring out like the salty lemon or this VAT 92, it's like,
oh, it's like twice as good as you remember.
This is why I fell in love with this.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, time has been really kind to, you know, so many of the sours that I've pulled out of the cellar that are probably, you know, 3 to 5 years. It's just been this magical moment. And I probably have the same reaction that you do. I'm like, I don't know, I can sit down and drink this whole thing. And just,
yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, wait.
Well, you kind of fall into trends,
I'm
too.
I'm at the bottom of the bottle. Well, how did that happen?
Hey, wait, it's Thursday. Wait, what? Yeah. But, you know, you fall into trends like everybody's drinking Pilsners now and, you know, different
things.
Which
is great.
Which is amazing.
You know.
But, and we'll probably talk more about that later, but, like, you know, what do you find yourself drinking right now?
Often.
Like,
with my left hand, mostly.
Yeah. So. I two-fist it. Yeah, I go.
Yeah. JB, what do you think about the bone beer here?
It's glorious. And like you said, it's simplicity personified. So, I mean, obviously the grist was, you know, one thing and the barrel is another. And, you know, these barrels are probably billions of years old that they've had, you know, forever, but it's so layered. It's so gorgeous. It's easy drinking, but it's complex at the same time. You know, it's a bougie table beer, if you will. And I love it. And I love everything about what they're doing. And what a great concept, too. I don't know too many brewers that would even do that or dare do that.
Well, I'm sure it presents a lot of, you know, bottling and production challenges to keep all this stuff separate, you know, for sure. So we're going to rate the Bone Vat 92 Mono Blend a solid 5.
So we didn't bring out any of the crappy beer so far.
So far.
No. By the way, the batch we're enjoying is 80801, if you want to look it up. It's probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years, you know, that I probably had that in the cellar.
That's about right. That's a good cellaring.
Sure. All right, quiet please. Love is happening on the set.
What? Where? Yes,
it is. So, yep, listen, I just want to claim just a little bit of credit that you both found love on this show. So I think you guys were only like 1 or 2 dates in, you know, before that first episode. Is that right?
Not really.
Not at all. No. So my math is off.
We'd been living together for about a year or 2. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
no, we knew that we were going to marry each other the first day that we met each other.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which was at a defunct beer fest.
Now, let me say, we both fell in love with you a little bit, Mike, on that first episode.
We did, right? So, yes, we did.
For bringing the
10 years later, the fires are burning even hotter.
Bring the big bucket. It is really cool, though.
And we're shoveling.
So, but you guys went from at least dating to, you know, being married, you know, while you're...
No, and this show has absolutely been something that we've both shared. Like
right from the beginning.
And I can honestly say, like, if she and I were not together, I probably would not have said okay to being on the show. Like when John originally sent that thing out, and I don't know if she would either. I think
it was like, okay, I'll do it if you do it.
Yeah, it was of thing. So I think there was definitely something there where we knew together we wanted to do this.
That's cool. And, you know, that's really rare, you know, to have, you know, a relationship like that. I mean, it's really, I've listened to some other shows where, you know, people started out married and then all of a sudden they're not, and they still have to carry the show on.
Sure.
Yeah.
And sure, you can hear just how tense it is.
Well, something becomes a business or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, and I see it, you know, with, you know, clients and businesses all the time where, you know, they're in a common business together and then all of a sudden it's like their relationship's not there as a foundation anymore. It really
with some breweries.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah, absolutely. We have. So anyway, I'm glad. You know, all I have to say is that I'm all lined up to either be blamed if this doesn't work out or God forbid.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, so we met at a beer festival.
Ever were to happen.
I mean, you know, and it was kind of love at first sight both ways. And like, really, it was love at first sight for her because I was wearing a Schlafly t-shirt and she was like, oh, this guy's wearing a Schlafly shirt. And she may deny it now, but she full on, she was like, oh, Schlafly. You know, like,
no, that's what drew me to him because
a beer t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, because
I heard all the merchandise people go, yes.
Yeah.
But it was, I was thinking that he was from St. Louis and I had.
So wrong.
And I had gotten that shirt in a raffle at a homebrew competition like a month before or something. I was like, yeah, I was wearing my Schlafly shirt today. Ooh, look at me.
And there it was.
And it was probably the worst beer festival either of us has ever been to.
Ever.
Yeah. It was the one, I don't know if you remember it, Mike, but like they ran out of cups.
Yep.
And a lot of the breweries brought like a 6-pack of beer.
I remember
like,
and that was yes. It was horrible. Yes.
Yeah. It was one of the worst beer festivals ever, but I came out okay.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Despite the solo cup.
Yeah.
I hear over there going, rocks, papers. Yeah. <You know? laughs>
when she was with a friend who was like, oh, don't go talk to that guy.
Right. No.
A and beer t-shirt. She, yeah. No, in a sea of beer t-shirts.
Yeah. Well, the thing is she had known me in my dating history, and I had gone through a few boys from St. Louis. So when she saw the shirt, she's like, oh, no, not another St. Louis boy. No, you got to stop this.
I'm just, the thing that's playing through my head is like other people listening to us going, all right, so your dating criteria is, you know, they have to, you know,
drink beer.
They have to, you know, watch some of the same TV shows, you know, and you have to have good personal hygiene, and they have to have a really good beer t-shirt. Yeah.
Well, you can take out the good hygiene part right away.
You're so saying that's optional?
Well, clearly she did not have that as one of her criteria.
Well, and for me, he recognized, yeah, so
all those dating apps just right down the toilet.
He recognized what the t-shirt was that I was, well, the shirt was that I was wearing, and so then I was like, okay, this guy can't be bad.
Yeah, she was wearing a Preds.
Yeah, because I was going to the hockey game afterwards.
So, what are some of your most memorable moments on the show?
So many, so many.
I have one. Can I play a clip?
Sure.
I would not call this a guzzling or chuggling. Chuggling. That's a real word, right? I don't think so.
It is now.
A chuggling.
It's a sip, suds, and smokes verbiage.
It is definitely a sipping beer for sure. My suds rating for Merca is going to be 3. Juliana, what did you think of Merca from Prairie?
I dug it. I got a lot of greepiness, you know, off of it, which is, well, Nelson. They're standing out in
front
of me. And
kind of musty, too, a little bit.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a bit.
I think that's me. Sorry.
Please say Barnhouse.
I'll turn the fan on for you, Dave.
Thank you.
Reverend Mark, please take a bath.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't notice.
But, like, a good degree of Barnhouse-y, you know, kind of stuff.
Barnhouse?
Yeah. I know. I made that up right now.
Thank you. I like that.
Thank you.
This day of mission words.
Juggling.
Barnhouse-y. Just so many great moments. Just in that 5-minute clip. First off, I said the word 42 times in that 1-minute clip.
So, yes. I love that. Like, that was, so obviously we had met Reverend Mark before then.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because he is probably one of our best memories from this show, like the best pickups. Yes.
For me and Julianne,
especially
microphone presence where he talks down to the table all the time.
So that was that was the episode where we were making fun of Reverend Mark by talking, you know, around, and because I think he was supposed to be on there, but he had to cancel.
Oh.
So we were just like, all right, well, we're gonna rip on you,
yeah,
you know, and then so that's when the Sip, Suds, and Smokes lexicon, I think, began.
Absolutely.
Chuggling, mm-hmm. You know, grapiness, you know, anything
what
can
was
be
so e-ness. Funny about that clip was I honestly thought that Juliana was the one that came up with
for the
word
last
chuggling.
8 or 9 years.
Everybody thought she invented chuggling. Just absolutely. But the thing is that she owns it a lot better than I did. I just kind of chucked it off, you know. She was like, that's a cool word. Yeah. I'm going to just use that in my tagline. Yeah.
But they will never take Barnhouse away from you.
Never take Barnhouse away from you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you do that in everyday life? Like when you're at the grocery store, could I have like the macaroni and cheesy?
I'll be at work and I'll say things
with
an E.
You'll make up words there?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
They're Juliaisms, yeah.
With people's lives at stake, you're going to make up a word?
Yeah. But the thing is they get it. And they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want the thingy, not the thing. I want the thingy.
Right.
Yeah, it's completely different.
It's totally natural. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What's the problem over here?
It's all normal.
Yeah.
I love that. That was just such a great episode. And so the name of that, the title of that episode is Chuggling with Dave.
Yep.
If you want to look it up, and you'll get to hear that entire episode in full context. So
it's funny too, like that was at how we've gone through periods of different beers. And obviously, you know, you have a lot of the building a show is around what you can get and what's going on at the time. But we were drinking a ton of Prairie.
Yes,
we were then.
And I think we have a Prairie beer here today.
We
too.
do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which one do you have in front
An
of you?
An homage. Speaking of which, this is the Cherry Funk from Prairie.
What year is that?
Sour with Cherry. This one was 2015.
Man, that might almost be right around the time we did the show, but Cherry Funk, I remember we found it at...
Swansea Day,
yeah.
Yeah, in Louisville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just a phenomenal beer.
Well, again, it has that, you know, that really good base beer that you find in a wide range of
because they know, do a funk series. Yeah.
And so this is really just kind of there's a whole gamut of different fruit, you know, that they've run with, you know, for this base beer.
Yeah, the tomato funk is not so great, but
that's an acquired taste.
Yeah. You gotta try on that one.
Yeah. The thing to me about this one is, sadly, the cherry has fallen off.
It really has.
Yeah.
But the base is still there, and it's still, to me, distinctively Prairie.
Well, you know, I'm all about the base. So.
Well, you know, the vast majority of, you know, these is, the fruit is very, very forward, and you're right. The cherry has just moved to the background and is almost like in a muted, you know, sense.
I mean, it's there at the end, but it's so soft. You have to like almost.
What's the name of the golden something? Golden.
Sour?
Yeah, Golden Sour. Is that the name of the base beer that they work with for this?
Prairie Gold. No,
okay,
it's not Prairie Gold. Is it Prairie Gold?
Something I like think that. It has gold in the name, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, you know, get a lot of the base beer, you know, that's coming in. But yeah, sadly.
And it's a very distinct, like Prairie's very distinctive about their base sours. I've noticed, like I could pick it out in a lineup.
Well, I think it's, and this, you know, is they have their house culture. So you can definitely, you know it. And I think that's the hallmark.
Little lady hands.
You know, that's.
Yeah.
That's a hallmark of a cool brewery, like so, Gesture King. Like, you know, a Gesture King.
Is this a 2015? Is that what this is? So, yeah,
2015.
Yeah. So that means
he's going to do math. He's going to do math, folks. Hold on.
Almost 7 years. So,
yeah. And hey.
So I think it's held up okay, but it's not quite the same beer.
It's definitely
no, yeah. No, but it's good reminiscing.
Yep. So our Suds rating for this is going to be a three.
Yeah.
Wow, a lot of great beer, you know, that we've had, and there've been just a ton of great moments that we've had on the show. And I don't know, I love all the unplanned moments that have come along the way.
Have we had those?
Yeah.
Oh, there were many.
Hey, we'll be right back after this break. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue.
Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's chat episode, we are talking with good old boy Dave.
Hi.
And good old gal Juliana.
Hi. Hey there.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was me too.
And we were enjoying, you know, talking about some moments that we've had here on the show in the past. And I just, you know, it's interesting how, you know, we approach so many of our episodes where, like, there's a plan, there's some bit of a script, but there's all this room there for all this, you know, creativity, you know, to come into. And it's just,
something always happens.
And I love how we end up filling that void with some things that are just magical that you could sit down and overthink it forever and it would just never happen that way. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dave and I have this really strange coincidence of living in the same city and attending the same high school,
nearly a decade apart.
And yet Dave missed all the good parts, like drinking moonshine at the Friday night football games.
Oh.
Which is to say I didn't do that when I was six.
Yeah, so which are a religious experience. So he never got to eat at Sweeney Swift drugstore.
Until it became a millennial
hangout. Yeah, yeah. Seriously, the very best cherry Coke I've ever had. You can attend all the major Protestant religions within two blocks. Seriously, you can be dunked, sprinkled, yelled at everyone that you love Jesus, and predestined to heaven all within a 5-minute walk.
But, you know, Mike moved out of town before, you know, the new super Walmart came in. So I'd say it's kind of a wash.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was able to complete the Protestant trifecta before the tender age of 14, and I can still hear my Baptist Sunday school teacher saying, "You boys are going to skip Sunday school and head to the drugstore, are still going to be going to heaven because Jesus will forgive you." So,
Well, wow, that's a good way to talk them out of it.
Yeah. So, Dave, did you actually figure out what was a green wave and why we couldn't ever come up with a decent mascot?
I don't know, man. So we were the green and gold, and we used the Gallatin Green Wave.
Yep.
And I don't know, like, was it because the river was dirty?
No. I think it was the wave of the eyebrows of our principal.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Because, well, yeah, there's that. But wouldn't that be the blue wave?
The gray wave.
Yeah.
You know, seriously. You can see those burly, bushy, you know, eyebrows from space. You didn't even have to have a telescope.
Wait, who was the principal when you were at the high school?
Well, Dr. Heron, so.
Dr. Heron. Okay, yeah. So still
Mr.
there.
Heron,
yeah,
I should say.
Mr. Heron, yeah. Yeah. I think he paddled me once.
Yeah, they did that.
No,
they did.
I got a few of those.
That
was back in the good old days of corporal punishment.
Back when you could still hit a kid, and it was okay.
It was okay.
It was for their own good.
It was a character building moment.
Yeah.
Right. Correct.
Learning opportunity.
Yeah. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
But I like how neither Dave or I really have gone back to any of the reunions. None.
So
like,
here's the thing.
We just want to bury that experience.
They have never had a reunion for my...
Really?
Yes. They lost the list. Yeah. I called. Like, after like 5 years or 10 years, whatever the first one was, I didn't care. But then I was like, I wonder, like, what's going on here? Because nobody ever reached out or anything. I was like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, we don't... The school was like, we don't really do that. The graduating class takes care of that. And they said nobody's really ever had the list. I was like, whatever.
Well, that's a close.
So I've never been to a class reunion. And
neither have I.
You have not missed a thing. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
It's like, so I didn't really like those people 30 years ago.
You don't need to hang out with them again.
Yeah.
You just say hi to them, you know, when you're, hey, I know you somehow.
When I go to Walmart in Gallatin.
Yeah, the super Walmart. Well, you both have such very different favorite styles of beer. And, you know, so Dave is all things British. He loves Fogelhops.
Yeah.
And JB, you are all about, you know, things sour and lambic, and you just love all that, you know, funkiness.
Oh, yeah.
How in the world do you guys decide on which beer you're going to drink an entire bottle of?
Well, the good thing is, if it's something that I like, he knows that I'm going to have the majority of the bottle and he's just going to have a little taste.
I drink the dregs.
And then otherwise, if it's something that I don't like, he finishes it. So it's great. It's like the perfect marriage, right?
Yeah, it's like...
Maybe?
And Dave's like, yeah, what she said.
Yes, dear. No, actually, it's true because, I mean, there are a lot of beers that we both enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she loves English beers too. And I'm, you know, everything that she likes except maybe the birch beers or, you know, the stuff with spruce and weird crap, tree crap, you know, I like. But we definitely figure out a way to make it happen.
One of these days, he'll enjoy Pennsylvania Tuxedo as much as I do.
So you guys have no prenup for the beer. So how... How would you even begin to try and separate? So, what's mine? What's yours?
I think she would take all the whiskey and just leave me the beer
and the Amaro. Except, no.
She would take the Saint Somewhere.
Yes, and I would take all of the...
Would she write to Dave or to Bob in advance and go, I'm taking the beer, man.
Yeah, she's like, Bob, I'm bringing the beer to you. I'm bringing it back, baby.
I would take all of the Dogfish Head. I would take all the Pennsylvania beer.
Yeah, you can, that's fine. Of course. The Yingling.
And the fight for that over is zero.
She's going to take the Yingling and... Yeah, the Yingling.
and the Baltimore Natty Bow.
The Natty Bow. Wow, man. Hold me down.
Yeah.
Fight over that one.
That's why we get along.
No,
we don't fight over beer.
Taste. No, we don't. It's great.
Huh.
Yeah, we don't even fight over whiskey.
No, I don't think that would be happening.
I only drink what she lets me.
That's what I say.
Like, honey, if you put it out on the bar, I'm going to drink it.
Well, so after a discussion of mezcal, I think she's hooked. She's like, oh, this sounds so cool, Mike. Oh, I like getting into this. I'm telling you, there's going to be a whole new wall of mezcal.
Well, and it'll get emptied. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you guys actually turn the table on me, you know.
Okay.
You can ask me one question.
One question.
Why? Each or one question together?
Very good. I like that. Yeah. You know? I object. Vague. And not discreet.
Your Honor, this is not pertinent to the case at hand.
Why? Why did you decide to do a podcast?
Well, you know, I thought you guys knew this story.
The readers don't. The listeners don't. The readers, listeners don't.
Yeah, so I've talked about it several times. I lost a bet. That literally is the truth. So I was in the car. I was going to Home Depot, and I was listening to Car Talk on the radio.
God, love that
and
show.
And I do. I really enjoyed that show. It was a cornerstone of every Saturday morning. And I was talking with good old boy Jim on the phone at the time. And he heard, you know, Car Talk in the background, and he said, what are you going to do, you know, when they go off the air? And I'm like, wait, what? Hang on a second. I've got to pull over.
You shut your mouth.
What did you just say?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I'm sorry, but, you know, that's the end of Car Talk, you know. And he said, they're going off the air. And I said, wow, this is just a cultural tragedy. I mean, what am I going to do with my Saturday mornings? I mean, there is no way I'm going to be able to find, you know, aisle number 82B at my local, you know.
A&A Auto.
Yeah. There's, without them, you know, they're going.
Where's my frickin' frack?
I just have no idea. You know, I mean, of all the best questionable marital advice has come from that show. So,
no
doubt, man. I said, you know. What are they going to put on, you know, instead of them? And he was like, I don't know. I'm like, we have to do something about this. I'm like, this is just not going to fly by me, you know, just right in front of me and not let it go undone. I said, somebody has to step into that. And he's like, okay. Like, are they going to put another really riveting NPR show on? And I said, no. And he said, I said, well, we could do something about that. And he said, like what? And I said, we could come up with a radio show. These are two guys that talk about auto, you know, parts all day long, you know? And I said, they're just entertaining. And I said, we could make that happen. He goes, I think you could make it entertaining. And I said, all right, fine. I'm up to the challenge. And I said, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You know, we're going to do this for like 4 or 5 episodes and be done with it. He said, yeah, I think you'll be a lot better at it than you think. And I said, all right, so the bet's on. I said, we're going to actually do this. We're going to create our own radio show. I'm going to pitch it. I'm going to get us on the radio. We're going to do this for 5 episodes and be done with it. And he said, I think you'll last a lot longer. And I said, you want to bet on that? And he said, yeah. And so that was kind of the end of it. And the start of the show, and Jim was on those early episodes. And yeah, around, you know, episode number 20, I was like, man, this may be the best bet I ever lost.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Click and clack, man.
And you guys showed up, and, you know, the part of the magic was coming together. So,
okay, here's my question. So, at that first episode, did you think we would stick around?
Did you want us to stick around?
yes, to the second part of the question. Absolutely, I wanted you to stick around. I think we were all finding our own personality, you know, in the show itself, and trying to sound less like we were making it up on the fly and actually doing some things intentional. And I think that everybody was in a similar place, you know, of just trying to find our own media personality, or maybe the lack thereof.
I feel like the further we got into it, the less scripted the show became. Like, obviously there are certain things, like, you know, the SUD ratings and like the intro and like, you know, the time signatures and stuff, yes, that you have to manage. But like, I know for me, when I was writing scripts, like at the beginning, I would try to write like shtick and like little comedy bits. And you can't really do that with people who don't read the script before the show. But also,
or people that are blind.
But also, yeah, true. Can't read. Yeah, you know,
can't write.
Use those big words.
Yes. Can't spell. Can't even copy and paste. But I think too, though, the spontaneity of the show has been what's really the best part of it.
Yeah, you know? And how it's evolved over time, and how we can just look at each other and the words come out, and it totally makes sense, and it's radio gold.
Let's put this spontaneity to the test here. So I am a huge fan.
Oh boy,
of the late James Lipton from the Actor Studio, and I always wish that I could have answered those closeout questions, you know, that he has. So now it's your turn that you get with these. So I'm going to alternate between them. So, JB, you get to go first. What's your favorite word?
Bitter.
Ooh, bitter.
Because it's my personality and it's my flavor profile lately.
Moist.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly what I think of that as well. So, Dave, what's your least favorite word?
Least favorite word...
Besides moist.
...is... Monday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a good one.
JB, what turns you on?
Dave.
Besides my husband?
Wow.
Balsamic tobacco.
What? Balsamic tobacco?
Is that even a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Is that rhyme with Bartenhausie?
Yeah.
Balsamic.
I love things tobacco right now that are balsamic, like Amaro's, and I love tobacco right now. I'm in a tobacco.
I know an awful lot about both of those things that are on opposite sides of the planet.
That's what's so great.
For a good reason.
So great.
I hear the people in Italian just saying, no, tobacco with the balsamic. No, you're not going to be doing this. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm taking Cuba and Italy and mashing it together.
Been smoking some of that balsamic.
All right, Dave. What turns you off?
Pretentiousness.
Ooh, so every word that I say.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Mike, you and I will never date.
That's why he drinks a lot.
Yeah. The whole time I can hear, how bougie can he make
it? No, but I think, like, if it's a legitimate feeling about something and you understand what you're saying, I don't think that's pretentiousness. I think what I'm saying is, like, when you're trying to criticize something because you think it's the right thing to say, and you're, like, oh, I don't like that because it's not what's in right now.
Oh.
To me, that's kind of pretentious.
Hmm. Yeah. So what sound or noise do you love, JB?
The sound of beer when it first starts to ferment.
That CO2.
And it's taken off, and you're like, my baby's happy. Yes.
Do you put that on a sound machine at night, you know, listen to that?
Yeah, no, that's my form of crickets.
Is that your ringtone?
Mm-hmm. We keep a fermenter in our bedroom.
All the time, fermenting.
So, Dave, what sound or noise do you hate?
The alarm clock sometimes.
Yeah. Sensing a theme. Monday, alarm clock.
Yeah, Monday's alarm clock. No, you know, I think it's that sound that we all dislike is like when it's the weekend's over, you know, and it's time to get back to it.
You haven't met my cat, so. Very demanding. So, what, JB, what's your favorite curse word? Mm. Wow. Had to get an EY in there somewhere. Dave, what's your favorite curse word?
Well, I love them all. You know, you're asking me to pick my favorite child. But, you know, it's true. I you know, it's pretty good. She, you know, you be a whistle, a head, ass. So, yeah.
Real quick, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Architect.
Wow. How about it, Dave?
Professional podcaster.
Someday, maybe.
Maybe, if I get it done.
Wow. I still think Kendall is my best airline pilot.
Oh, no way. Oh, yeah.
I would. You know what? I would actually get in a plane that Kendall piloted.
Yeah.
And I won't say that for a lot of people, especially people on this show.
But Kendall, yeah.
He is probably actually the only one on this show who I would let fly me around a plane.
Well, that's going to do it. We're going to wrap up for today's episode. Thank you both for everything that you've done and you are doing or you will be doing for this show in the future. I really appreciate it.
Moist.
Thank you for being here, good old boy Dave.
Hey, man, I've loved the last 10 years, and I'm looking forward to the next 10.
Be sure and check out his 60-second reviews on Instagram for
Someday
sure.
Someday we'll do them again.
Yes. Girl gal Juliana, thank you for being here.
Thank you for a great 10, and the best is yet to come.
Keep on sipping, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.